Yo, man, we have a great episode today. I haven't had a guest on for a very long time, and I just wanna like, what? For having a guest on who's awesome. Prisca joined me on the show this week, and we had a super riveting conversation. I love her passion, and it was just so nice to like jump back and forth with her as we walk around and explore like what the impact of colonialism is on our world. Like, what happened when the rational mind was pedestaled or the ego was pedestaled? I think, therefore, I am. And the mind started dominating our culture. What did that do to our culture? And what is that producing? Like, what kind of human beings is that producing? And what are the implications of that? And what would it look like as we start exploring and designing and creating like a new way of perceiving reality with a new belief system, and what might happen if we start believing different things. So this is like an epic episode of uncovering our own conditioning, our own like really hidden conditioning, and also looking toward the future of, wow, what could reality and society and culture look like if a couple shifts happen? Many shifts, ultimately. Prisca, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you everyone for listening. Stay tuned for more epic episodes coming up, and hope you enjoy the show. Hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Under the Bodhi Tree. I have an exciting guest this week. We'll talk. I want to actually, I'm going to introduce you. This is Prisca. Welcome.
Thank you.
I was this morning, so we're both at Engsbacka right now. This is a retreat and festival center that also has kind of like a living community that's working together and putting on events. And this morning I woke up, we both have a day off today. I was walking downstairs to get some breakfast, and I overheard a really engaging conversation between you and another friend of ours. And it was just like, it was like systems change. Like, this was kind of like the topic. It was like, how, what needs to shift? The words like paradigm came through, like belief systems, like what is underpinning our entire economic and societal model. And I was getting a banana and I couldn't help but say, I was like, I need to be a part of this conversation. It was like a magnet. It felt like a magnet. And actually from that conversation, I was just like, Prisca, I need to have, like, are you down to do a podcast? And you were like, yeah, when? Like, let's do it right now. So we're literally at the edge of that conversation, and it feels so alive and exciting. So today we're gonna kind of, I'm imagining we'll explore kind of the world of like, we talked about like regenerative economics. This is a beautiful word, and we're going to explore that concept. Like, what are the models that are underpinning our current system? And like, what is our current system? What's the byproduct of the way we're organizing? And yeah, what are like, what's going to happen? What could happen? What are you studying? What are you exploring? And what are you researching that might like pull our like society and global culture into a new way of being and organizing? So those are a couple of the topics today, and I just want to say it's like awesome having you here. You've been in part of the GEN, the Global Eco Village Network, for the last like 5 years, researching and studying. You've been studying. You're like moving towards regenerative economics. Tell me a little bit about more that. Like, what have you been curious about these last years? Like, what have you been researching and studying?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Modi. It feels like this feels so right to be here, and the synchronicities. I love this, how it works. You know, like I just woke up this morning, I felt like I need a coffee, you know, and then I just went there and this happened. So I'm really grateful for also this synchronous energy that we have here in
It's
Engsbacka.
amazing.
It's amazing, and yeah. So basically, so my background a little bit. I studied in my bachelor's, I studied international relations, and I actually started with a different focus. I wanted to go into human rights, and I was working for a human rights organization as an intern, also really focusing on like sex trafficking of women and children, and that was my thing. Up until I went to India for the first time. It was a bit cliche, but it's true. And then I found this huge community in there that's called Auroville. was like, okay, I saw a bunch of people coming together doing something different, and that sparked that interest in me of like actually diving into something different. And then I went to live in a community in an eco village for the first time in Brazil in 2017, and that's where I also started like really diving deep into this system change. I saw, okay, there's a bunch of people doing something different. They're experimenting. It was like a lab, a living lab, where people were experimenting with different ways of relating to each other, different ways of communicating, and also specifically, they had their own currency within the community. So the way in which they exchanged economically was unique and different, and it was really like designed to work within that community. And they were, of course, like really into making it as ecological as possible. So they were working with these dimensions, the ecological dimension, the economic dimension, the social dimension, relational dimension. I was like, okay, cool. How can we make this work globally? Because I was already studying international relations. So my whole view was always macro, like how does the international system work and this anarchy in between nations? And this was always my interest. And how can we bridge the local and the global? How can we make that change? And then I went to Germany to actually further my studies in international relations. And then I found Jen, and then I started working for Jen. And then I dove into permaculture, the principles of permaculture and all that. Then I finished my studies, and now I'm studying, I'm in Germany again, studying global political economy and development. But what I actually do is I research post-development approaches with a decolonial undertone.
Will you say more about that? What does that mean for you? Like, what is post-development? And yeah, I would like...
Yeah, so basically, what we have today... So I'll introduce a little bit of what decoloniality is. And how, because that's kind of like my North Star, like the theory that guides all of my work is decoloniality. And then we already introduce what we're going to talk about today, which is paradigm. Paradigm is a set of beliefs. So today we live in a specific international system that has different structures in which we relate to each other economically, politically, and socially. And the structures, they are set upon a specific set of beliefs. And the set of beliefs, they come from a modern era. So they're mostly, of course, they have influence from before, but mostly they are very influenced by the Age of Enlightenment. So that, you know, Descartes, all of the 16th, 17th century thinkers here in Europe that developed what we call today what is modernity. Right, and this modernity, it has a set of beliefs that is built upon a set of beliefs, and this set of beliefs is like it's very focused on linearity, and this Newtonian physics way of looking at the world, you know, and then nature is controllable, and we can understand nature in a very rational way, rationality. You know, that I think, therefore I am, when Descartes said that, and then there was this interpretation that a human existence is conditioned to rational thinking. This gave the justification for slavery, coloniality in general, and also the slavery of nature. Like, still today, we see nature as a provider of resources. Mm. We're still in the mindset of enslaving nature. This comes from there, because the rational being is like higher in the hierarchy. So,
well, it's so, Colin. It's so fascinating, because I love the word you're using, like rational being.
Yeah.
Which, like, in different circles, it's like the mind, and another word for it is like the ego, mm-hmm. or like the sense of self that is derived from my rationale. And it's so fascinating, because even this concept of like, I have this thought that like the ego would make like a really good janitor, but like not a very good CEO. And it was almost like the ego was such a good janitor that the company was like, let's make him the CEO. And it's like, no. And it's almost like that's what happened. Like, in some way, the rational mind is just like, I'm the emperor now, and everything serves this. And that's just really fascinating. So.
Yeah, and that's the mindset, and that is what is under all the structures we have. Capitalism is built upon that. You know, all the systems that we have today that make the society function, they're built upon this specific belief.
Wow. Okay, cool. So like let's say there's like this set of beliefs that have brought us into an era where like the byproduct is a sense of like it's funny, like a sense of control
Yeah.
even. Like having control.
Yeah, this is Newtonian physics. Like, we are able to control nature. We're able to control each other within this very egoic way of seeing things, where we are like
At the top of the food chain.
the top of the food chain. Yeah.
And not within an ecosystem,
Yeah.
which is interesting because I'm even thinking of like the way it's literally crazy because it's the way I speak even covertly points to this, which is I'm going into nature. It's like I am going into nature and then I'm going out of nature. Yeah, and these are it literally suggests that I am not nature, that I am a separate piece that is going into, yeah.
This provider of resources, you
Yeah.
know, that's what nature is to us. It provides water, it provides land, it provides what we need to thrive as these hierarchical beings, you know.
Even animals, which are livestock,
Yes.
which is like we are harvesting them
Yeah.
so that we can eat.
And there's it's even darker. It gets even darker
Oof.
because so there's an association as well, and there has been an association in that colonial, in you know, when Portuguese, the Portuguese were the first to actually build boats and go to Latin America and go to Africa and like Asia and like actually colonize. That mindset gave the justification to see, okay, every human being that is not primarily using rationality as their way of existing and relating can be enslaved and can be used to provide also resources. So this gave like, and still we see indigenous people as, because we associate them with nature, because they're so in tune with nature. So this mindset of the Western world associates the indigenous people and traditional peoples all over the world with nature, and this is like, okay, so they are less than. They are, you see, the othering all the time. We're all the time othering, not only nature, but othering also the human beings were more associated with nature, and this more like they see the oneness that they have with nature. And this gives the justification for the people who
Are above
have
nature.
bought nature to actually be like, okay, so you're less than.
This is so fascinating. I was doing a little research experiment with myself the other day, which was writing like I'm trying to uncover more deeply uncover my own conditioning. So I just wrote a list of like I shoulds. It's like things that somewhere in my being I know that I should. And one of them like was like I should be competent. I should be able to provide for myself. I should have my shit together, you know, like things like this. And in the like, I should be competent, it's almost like being, let's say, like being intuitive, somehow in my something, it equates to like stupidity, which is the opposite of rationale. You know, it's like, oh, I'm not rational. That means I'm not something.
Yeah.
And I even see there's like a shadow, like a lot of my life has been practicing following my intuition. And there's still somehow shame around. I feel like a fool if I'm following my intuition because it doesn't make sense. And I need to explain myself because of our like pedestaled rationale. It's like everything is around rationale.
Yes, all of our systems are built upon that. I think, therefore I am. I only exist because I think. Everything that does not think is not worthy. And we are not worthy if we go into our emotions or our, you know, our spirituality or anything that consists within us, but it's not rational.
Don't cry in public.
Yeah, don't cry in public.
You'll
Don't.
get fired.
Yeah.
People will think less of you. I even think less of myself when it's like, and even that was, I should not cry in public. It's embarrassing.
Or I need to get good grades because I need to. The way we get validation is by our intelligence or by the way that we can provide. It's always what we can provide through our rationality somehow. And that's why, like, there's this hierarchy of, like, jobs as well. Of course, you're gonna get paid more if you're an academic than if you're a janitor, because, like,
You're
you're using
thinking
your
more.
rationale, you're thinking more, you're more worthy.
Okay, cool. So like in so this is like maybe we've like set the stage of like where we are right now. And like so then I have like oh man, I have so many questions. One is like where so how do we shift this? This is like is this something that's important to shift? Or what is the value what is the value of shifting? Or what is this caused that is actually like not good? I guess part of it we talked about was like slavery, enslaving other humans. Racism, I think, is part of that too.
Absolutely. Yes.
Colonizing, and it's like, oh, we've colonized like the planet, and now we're moving into like a crisis scene.
Yeah, maybe we can start there.
Yeah.
Like what this paradigm, because this is the paradigm we're talking about, right? This, I think, therefore I am, the rationality and the linearity and the Newtonian physics of seeing things and the, yeah, the separation, the extreme individualism. This is all contained within this paradigm that started there, or not started, but like was anchored in the Age of Enlightenment. And through colonization, it was spread around the world, and now it's even more because of globalization. So what this caused, you said it right. It's like now we're living this crisis of crises, because this paradigm also brings this specific idea of progress, because progress is neutral, but then you can charge it with whatever set of beliefs you have. So in this specific paradigm, which we call the colonial paradigm, it has this idea of progress of like infinite growth
Accumulating.
accumulating. And also it is a paradigm in which scarcity is one of the pillars. So we have to compete for resources, the resources that nature provides.
There's not enough.
There's not enough, and then I have to have more power and more money and more everything in order to actually guarantee my survival. And I'll do that by making someone else less powerful.
Yeah, because there's not enough to
There's
go
not
around.
enough to go around. And this is the pillar in which our economic system is built upon, scarcity. It's very fundamental. Political system, same thing.
Or a love system, even.
Yeah. Or the way we relate, it's always scarce.
Not enough love.
Not enough love. And I always have to be better, and I always have to grow more, and I have to be richer, or I have to be more prettier, or whatever, because I have to always have this progress in order to be loved or in order to survive. And of course, I mean, that's obvious. In the way that our economic system works nowadays is linear. So we extract from the natural resources that we have, and then we produce, and then we sell, and then we make the money, and then people use the product, and then it's discarded, and then it's happening again and again. It's a linear way of relating economically. This is destroying our planet, of course, because we extract and then we don't put it back. We don't, we extract the resources and then it's discarded. And then this is, so our current, we have multiple crises. This is actually a theory. It's called multiple crisis theory. And yeah, we're living in a space and time where there are multiple crises happening at the same time. The climate crisis, economic crisis, political, social, all of them happening at the same time. This is what this paradigm got us. Now, how can we make that shift? And why you ask, why is it important to make that shift? I mean, some people can say it's not important to make that shift, but I think you and me and a lot of people who listen to this podcast, they actually are in a space in life where they want to see another sort of progress. So still progress, but charged with another type of belief that is directing towards love and justice and harmony. This is what is important, and also for our own survival, because like if we continue this way, we're actually gonna die as a species.
Which is fascinating because I love what you're speaking about with the that we're like in multiple crises at the same time, and I really like in a social way it's like wow we it's almost like I've seen so many people whether it's in depression or unable to connect, and it's just like oh wow how is like this could be interconnected with the other things, where it's like, wow, whatever we're in is kind of like infecting all parts of our lives. It's not just like, oh man, we like don't have enough food, but everything else is great. It's like, oh man, there's actually something even deeper that is touching all of these. Almost like all of these are a byproduct of, like, perhaps of like a set of beliefs that are actually creating more separation. More, we talked about like, what is the byproduct of a belief system? Is it like toward health and healing? Or like this, it seems like what I'm witnessing and even experiencing in my own life, the more time I spend in society, the more lonely I feel, the more isolated I feel, disconnected. And as a, ironically, as a byproduct of those, the more I want to go out and get love from other places, the more I want to consume, to fill the hole.
Yes. But that's exactly how it works. So by this system that we have today really is built upon the idea that we have to survive on our own. So it's built upon, you said it, separation and it's extreme individualism and loneliness, because we cannot depend on each other. We are competing for resources, for love, for everything. This is bringing us, this is what it does for our mental health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, is just to crumble it. So, yeah, you're completely right.
I mean, even the fact that when I go into a store, I need to lock my car door.
Yeah.
Because it's
we don't trust each other.
Because someone's going to take my car.
Your car. Someone else. See the othering? All the time. Othering, othering, othering.
And it's crazy. I mean, and that's just like I would be an idiot not to lock my car.
Yeah.
Like, that. It's even that deep.
You're an idiot to trust and to surrender. You're an idiot if you trust. So we're all the time, we need to control. We have to control.
Lock my house. I mean, it's funny. I was thinking, like, even the entire key industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is built upon distrust.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. I was like, oh my God, I wonder how many industries have been created for that.
But that started also with the private property. So if you have a private property, it's yours. So you have to fence it. You know, before we didn't have fences. We all lived in villages, and we were communities, and we had, yeah, maybe our own houses, but we were a community, and we thrived together. But then with the idea of private property, it's like, okay, now this is my house, so I have to fence it because you cannot enter.
Because I don't know you.
Because I don't know you. Because I don't connect to you. Because I have to compete with you for the same resources.
Man, it's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's, like, so what, like, cool idea, like, that it needs to shift, but like what does that even mean? Like, I know you talked earlier about these two communities that you're in, Oroville and this one in Brazil.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What were they, were they not doing the same thing? Like, what were they doing differently?
Well, many things. I think for a community to actually work, and this word community, it depends on a few things. It depends on actually coming from this extreme individualism and the separation and the competition into a bigger sense of oneness and a bigger sense of like interdependence. We're ultra dependent here, ultra independent, and also dependent because we depend on governments and we depend on the global market. But also, it's funny because it's both things happening at the same time. We're ultra independent in ourselves because we cannot rely on each other, but we have to rely on a central government and a centralized economy.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
So we have like centralized dependence.
Yeah.
So it seems like I'm hyper independent.
Yeah.
That just means I can't trust the people living around me.
Yeah.
But the only thing I can trust is the big providers.
Exactly.
Supermarkets. Like we talked about Walmart, government.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm very dependent on them.
Yeah. You have no freedom, actually. You're completely dependent on the centralized institutions. But at the same time, you cannot rely on your neighbors and your peers.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, so how can we shift that? It's by now, and this is why communities are so revolutionary, because now we are like coming, we're trying to get free from the big institutions, and we're also relying on each other.
So in some ways, like, we are in a centralized dependence pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the only way I know how to get food is by going to the supermarket.
Yeah.
Supermarket closes, I'm
You're
screwed.
Fucked. Yeah.
So it's like, so I better behave because otherwise mm-hmm. I need to get this food.
Yeah.
And so.
And you better work because you have to have the money to get food.
My house.
Yeah.
Like that everything. Other people are controlling. It's mm-hmm. like other people have my golden shackle. Yeah. It's like yeah. my golden shackle is like, I need the money to be, so I'm tied to the system.
Yeah.
Because someone else, big mom and dad mm-hmm. are providing for me.
Yeah.
So, decentralization. Mm-hmm. So that I'm not dependent on one thing.
Yeah.
How does that, yeah. What, like, how's that work? You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, we go back to that idea of the mycelium or the rhizoma. So this decentralization works when we have to have community for that work, different communities, because it doesn't work if you only have yourself to count on. And then if we have enough, and that's this idea in post-development. So post-development, again, we go back.
Yes.
It's this theory that we use in global political economy, in which we see, so the world we live in today is this world where development is our main goal. So, you know, that growth paradigm that we have, this is today translated into development. We want to be, all nations want to be developed nations mm-hmm. because that's where the wealth is. And, you know, it's where we can thrive and everyone can have resources and everything. The way I see it and the way that the theory that I follow sees it is that this is neocolonial. This is just a new word for coloniality, mm-hmm. you know? So we're trying to move towards this development paradigm that we don't need to actually access progress all the time. And the way that I see this happening is within the pluriverse. The pluriverse is this idea within post-development in which we see how are we going to get through this multiple crisis is by honoring and cherishing a thriving global community of many different communities that work locally, but they are connected, so they are interdependent through a network that communicates and exchanges.
It's funny, like, it's like little groups of people working together
yeah.
create one body working together,
yeah.
which works together with all the other little bodies.
Exactly. That's how it's like an ecosystem. It's like a forest. You see, there's this tree and there's this other tree. They're different trees. They're different seeds. But they all connect through the rhizoma, and they all connect through the soil, and they thrive together in that way. And it's organic. It's like a synergy.
It's fascinating. Earlier when you were talking, when we were in the conversation before we started the podcast, this other guy, Bohr, that we were talking to was saying that government is ultimately like force-based.
Yeah.
It's like there needs to be a police force, and there needs to be like a set of like rules and laws to force people to do things. Otherwise, because it's almost like so standardized. When you're governing New York, which is like
yeah.
20 million people or 8, but whatever, how 8 million people, that you're going to need force because the model isn't going to fit everybody. And what I'm imagining is like with smaller groups of people, people can actually organize potentially on like what works for them.
And that's the pluriverse. Yeah. And there's freedom in there. You can organize however you want. In a way, you know, in a way that's not going to harm other communities, of course.
What's cool about that is that, like, if I'm living in a way that's according to my values, I don't need anyone to force me to do anything yeah. because I already believe in what I do.
Yeah, and if you live through abundance, you don't have to like be afraid of locking your car, or you don't have to go and steal from another community because all of you generate abundance. All of these communities generate abundance, and then can also exchange that abundance.
The irony of this too is there's a movement in Israel called the kibbutz movement,
yeah,
you know, which is tons of little communities. And the irony is like the funny thing about abundance is that not everyone needs their own thing, because there might be enough when you're sharing that everyone can, like, abundance isn't having my own thing. It's being able to use what I need to use when I need to use it.
And share, yeah.
And those are very different, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need food all the time. I only need food when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I only need the car when I need it,
yeah,
which is only like maybe an hour a day at the most.
Yeah.
And so the kibbutz movement, a lot of kibbutzim would have like 200 people living there. I think there's like 12 cars. And that actually is abundant.
Yeah.
Or maybe 15 is abundant because it's like, oh wow, there's never been a moment where I've needed a car that I didn't have it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're abundant when you have everything you need, but you don't need to accumulate any of that. When you need it, it's available. It's having availability of the resources. Yeah.
And the only way to have availability in our current system is to own it.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So
private property.
The pluriverse, which is so beautiful because it's like right now we're in the universe.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, what would it look like if there were like a million different ways of living life and groups of people were living that kind of complexity mm-hmm. and interrelated?
Yeah. How would that look like? That's what we're finding out. That's what we're finding out through all of these different labs that are being, they're bubbling out all over the world and trying different ways of existing. You talk about Tamara, you know, all of this, even Angsbaka in a way, it's one of those little bubbles. It's, you know, and each of those, the beauty of it is each of these communities, they have their own focus. So they specialize in a way. And then Angsbaka has this focus on social, on conscious relating, for example. And then it can also offer this skill and this knowledge to another community that specializes in something else. And then there's this exchange also, not only in resources, but in knowledge, in expansion,
which is beautiful because there's like a free education paradigm in here too, which is like it's scaling in that like, oh, there's like a couple people in this community that are really interested in that and they're sharing it with the rest of the community yeah. and that community shares it with the rest of the other communities.
Yeah.
And this is, yeah, it's like even special, there's like little people that specialize in things mm-hmm. and then there's communities that specialize in things.
Yeah.
And then I'm imagining there will be even networks that specialize in things.
Exactly. Like Jen, it specializes in ecovillages and like just so many ISTA or, yeah. And that's the pluriverse. And that's how I, at least I see that the system change is going to happen. It's not like a huge, like, revolution that's going to tumble down the whole economic system in one night, but it's by building more and more different communities and these communities interdependently relating.
It's fascinating because it's like right now we're, it's like what I would imagine that we're living in right now is like a group, which is the entire like societal world of disempowered beings that are dependent upon a system to provide for them.
Yeah.
And where we might be moving, or where a cool place would be to move, is like a group of empowered beings that are not dependent on, but interdependent mm-hmm. with.
Yes. Yes. That's it.
That's really, I mean, it's really beautiful. That's really fascinating. Like, okay, all right. So what is a community? Like, what does that look like? What is a community?
What is a community?
Because like right now we're living in like a little hippie bubble.
Yeah.
Is that everyone going to need to be a hippie bubble?
No, absolutely not. No. No, that's the beauty of the pluriverse. You can be whatever you want. You can be super conservative also and have a community. That there's plenty also around the world. Communities there are actually quite conservative. A community is a group of individuals that have a common vision. Whatever it is. And then they decide to come together. They don't actually need to live together, but they can. You can have an online community with a specific vision of people living all over the planet as well. That's also can be called a community. So community is this umbrella term, and then you have like a bunch of different ways in which community can exist. But it's yeah, I think very simply put, is a group of individuals that have a common vision and they want to build something out of it together. So there's a sense of togetherness and. And for community to exist, then you have a certain level of coming away from this extreme individualism towards a little bit of more of a oneness mindset is important. And interdependence. So, yeah, this like relying on each other in some way.
Like we're in this together rather than yeah. I'm in this alone.
Yes.
Yeah. And
of course, you maintain your individuality, but then it's a different way of relating to yourself, but you do it, you do something, you share yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, what will it take to get there? What does that look like? What does the journey there look like?
Well, let's say maybe do you have an example of a specific type of community? Because community is like this huge umbrella term, but there's like different ways. So we call, for example, an intentional community. And then within intentional communities, you have also different types. Of an eco-village is a type of intentional community. And then you have like traditional communities, which is another type. So do you want to go through one of those examples?
Yeah, maybe like... Yeah, let's say like a group of people living together.
Yeah, with a vision.
Yeah. How do we get there?
How do we get there?
Yeah.
Living together, you mean like they live together, like they have a land, like a piece of land, and then they have houses, and they go together from there.
So this is what's funny. Yeah, it's like now that we're talking about this, I know that like when I think of community in my head, that's what pops up.
Okay.
Let's get a group of people and buy land.
Yeah.
And this actually seems to be like, it seems to be both like trending.
Yeah.
And also not always very successful.
Yeah. There's a huge failure rate actually in community. There's a lot of communities that start, communities like that, where people come together. It's like, okay, we have this vision that we want to like have a permacultural community where we are trying to be self-sufficient and whatever, you know, and they go together and it maybe lasts like 4 years, and then there's a lack of maybe, well, like healthy communication or something happens, and then everyone just goes. And so there's a need for community to also thrive. There's a need to every individual that constitutes that community needs to also focus on their own like self-growth. Because when you choose a community to live in, you're going to choose, like, if there's 100 people in their community, you're going to have 100 mirrors. And it's triggering as fuck. It's extremely intense. And so you have to really, like, focus also on your own internal resources and growth to be able to relate so intensely.
So there's this, like, so this is interesting too. As we were speaking earlier in the conversation with Bor, we were talking about like, okay, where does the system change come from? Is that we change the system, we change the laws and the rules, and then but maybe that's just like a superficial kind of manicure to the same thing happening. Or do we change from inside? And yeah, it sounds like a big piece of this, like almost like silent revolution is happening inside of myself.
Absolutely. It won't work if we don't change ourselves inside.
That's big.
That's huge.
So it's like, I mean, and it's almost ironic. It's like it's coming back to like to be an empowered being, to not give my power away, somebody, like we said this earlier, but it's like someone said like, wow, what would it look like if the 15,000 people protesting went and learned to grow their own food.
Yeah.
Like went and learned and educated themselves.
Yeah. Because I mean, we have this, again, like all of the structures that we have today, they're also built upon this original sin that came also with the church and the three religions, like the Christianity, also Judaism, and Islam, they have this like original sin type of like you exist and you're already a sinner because you came, especially with Christianity, because you came from sex and sex is a sin. So you know, so you're already not empowered. You're already born without your own power and you have to do something to redeem yourself.
Mm.
And this is all our systems are also built upon that. And it's very, yeah, we don't have our power. So it's about also getting that power back and saying, okay, no, I'm actually not a sinner. I'm a sovereign being. I have free will. And this is what I want to do with it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like these last years of like, I had this like sentence that came in that was like, the conditioning is in the questions that were asked. And what this meant was like, when I was a kid, I knew that I was supposed to go to university because after high school, people would ask, what school are you going to?
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe there was this too, but like, there were very few times where people said, it's good that you go to university because then this and this and this. That would be like really overt explanation of like this value, but actually it was happening covertly, which is people are like, oh, do you have a girlfriend? And then 1,000 people ask me that, and I'm like, oh, I should want a girlfriend, or I should have a girlfriend. And it has been like a 10-year mind fuck of trying to unravel and pinpoint the condition, like my belief systems.
Paradigm.
It's so in the back, it's so hidden.
Yeah.
That it's almost, that's scary.
Yeah, and just as hidden is that paradigm in the global structures. So just as hidden as it is in you, it is also hidden in the global structures. Because the micro and the macro, they're just mirrors.
Which is beautiful, because I also, like, there's some part of me that that stays away from conspiracy theories, because I also don't want to be like, there's a group of people actively doing this. And like, because I actually don't believe that it's like conscious, that it's like a group of people being like, okay, let's manipulate everybody. Even though that is what's happening. But I actually feel that they are in it too.
Absolutely.
Probably the worst.
Yes. With this power relations that we have, they're so like huge. They're definitely in that too. How much of a scarcity belief do you have to have to harness so much power and so much money?
It's like the more insecure I am,
yeah,
the more I need to dominate others.
Exactly. And this is interesting, because in our political systems, we see that too. We always see this like a pendulum. The more progress we have, for example, in our political, in law, for example, there's something that gives more freedom to people. There's like a huge like counter reaction from the right. That's like, no, for example, the abortion laws in the U.S. And then there's this huge reaction that's like, okay, because there's a lot of fear in losing that power and that privilege, and because there's the scarcity mindset and this insecurity of like, okay, if this law changes, then I, who was benefiting from it, I'm fucked. Or if this group of people is empowered, if transgender women are empowered, somehow this is going to affect me, because I'm going to lose my power now as a I don't know, white male,
white,
you know,
male.
Yeah.
It's clinging,
because it's so much fear. There's so much fear.
Which is a prison.
It's a prison. And we're imprisoning each other. So I agree with you. It's not like there's like this, there is an elite who is actually manipulating. That is true.
Yeah.
But they're just as in it as everyone else, or even more.
They're also...
Yeah, it's such a degree of illusion to be in that state. How illusion do you have to have to be to actually be able to manipulate someone?
It's like the prison guard also lives in the prison.
He does. He's there every day.
That sucks.
He doesn't see the sun because he has to be inside of the prison.
Oh my god. That's like, I mean, that's so tragic.
Yeah.
That's like the most tragic. Mm-hmm. It's like even the winners are losers, yeah, in this system.
Yeah. And now this multiple crisis moment that we are, this is actually, it is a curse in a way, but it's also the blessing. It is a blessing in the sense that it's like, especially a climate crisis, it won't see who will be affected, you know? Everyone will be absolutely, everyone's in danger. Unless you go to Mars, but like, okay, Elon Musk maybe, whatever. It's going to be so lonely there, you know? It's not going to be happy either. So like, you know, it won't choose. And this is the opportunity in the crisis. You know, every crisis brings opportunity. And right now in this transition time that we're living through, the opportunity is in like, okay, now finally there's something that will affect everyone.
Mm.
Because it's nature, and nature doesn't choose. So, okay, now, so everyone, and especially the ones in power, they also want to survive. So this is like the wake-up call. Okay, we're going to have to do something different.
We have to come together.
There's no choice. But the choice is dying collectively.
Like actually dying.
Actually, like we came to that point. So either we die or we do something different collectively.
Because it's crazy. I was reading somewhere, in Tamara on their website has something really beautiful. They give sliding scales, and they talk about this huge desire to make their course materials accessible to as many as possible. And within that, they have an entire article on sliding scales, and you can go deeper into that, which is like, where do I fall on the sliding scale? This is a really power. I remember reading this, and it was a really powerful mirror, because I would typically pay like the lower end because I'm a traveler and I don't have that much money. I'm living in hostels, like I'm not living a fancy life. And then they kind of like put it in my face. They're like, you like, we recommend paying in the middle or high level of the scale if you are like of a color. Like, I'm a white male and I have more power to make money than others. So me not working is a choice. And I was like, fuck.
That's coloniality for you. Like coloniality is different from colonialism. So this paradigm is all based upon coloniality, and it is the continuous reproduction of what constituted colonialism. And colonialism is very much based upon racism, for example, the structural racism, and this patriarchy as well, and then this hierarchical difference. So that's totally true. And then the power relations that we have within today, they work within that. So it's patriarchy, it's gender differences, and it's all based upon difference. And then where you are in those in those scales, like you have more or less power.
That's yeah, like that sucks.
It sucks.
It
It's
sucks.
sad. There's no equality. There's no equity.
Like truly, and it's like equality on a very, and we, this is beautiful. We said this earlier that it's like equality isn't about everybody getting the same things. It's like almost like everyone getting the same respect.
Yeah, and there that doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist.
No.
Neither of them exists.
No.
But the irony is that like everyone getting the same things is the facade of equality,
Yeah.
which is where the world is like, or society's trying to move. It's
Yeah.
like, oh no, you get paid the same. But that's not
You don't
actually.
have the same power. You don't have the same freedom. We don't have the same amount of freedom.
The same safety.
Safety, yeah. The same access to love, even.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah, anyways. Yeah, so this is like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about this of like, I don't remember what I was gonna say, but it doesn't even matter. Basically, I love this idea that like nature doesn't care. Oh yeah. So this is interesting. So it's like almost they were talking about in this article like the difference between this like scarce growing up with a scarcity mindset and growing up in scarcity are different things. Actual scarcity is you don't have food every day. Scarcity mindset is the fear that I won't have enough.
And they do different things to people. So
Yeah.
if you grow up in the scarcity mindset, you want to accumulate everything you have and save and then and not share. And if you grow up in actual scarcity, you can't even do that.
Almost like you want to share
Yeah.
or you need to
You need to
share.
share. Yeah.
You get closer
You
to the
get closer.
people
Yeah.
around you.
Yeah. So the scarcity mindset makes you more in enclosure into your own apartment and your own bubble and all your fences and your keys. And if you don't have it, you actually have to rely on each other. The interdependence actually happens more.
And so this is so fascinating because this is what might happen because like nature's just like because scarcity mindset is I might die
Yeah.
if
Yeah.
and
It's in the
scarcity,
future.
yeah, exactly. And scarcity is I'm going to die unless. And so it's almost like if nature doesn't discriminate, then it's actual scarcity. It's like, oh, whoa, we actually might die.
Yeah.
We need, and then the fact that I'm a white male or a banker or a doctor doesn't matter anymore. It's just like, yo, my house, like everyone's house is fucked. Who can carry this stuff?
Yeah.
And it's like, I remember reading, there's a really beautiful book, Tribe. It's called Tribe, like on homecoming, something like this. And they talked about how there's like lower, like in times of war, in like really intense war zones, there is less, like almost like issues with mental health. And the irony is like lots of people reported like higher levels of connectiveness during war times because all of a sudden when your city's being bombed, it's just like there's no rules anymore. There's no hierarchy anymore. There's just we need to do this. Yeah. Come, you come, you come. Come on, let's do this.
And we need to do it together. If I do it alone, I won't survive.
No.
Yeah. This is the beauty and the blessing of the times that we're going through right now. And if we can focus on that and harness that, maybe we have hope.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. That's what we're trying together, right?
And it's beautiful because earlier we were talking about communities. Someone gave like a perspective of the festival. There's lots of festivals happening in this time period.
Yeah.
Like the festival movement. Transformational festival is one level of it, but also like big music festivals. Yeah. Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza, yeah. You know. Yeah. And someone gave this perspective that like festivals are a practice run for a design template for living together.
Yeah. And there's the celebration aspect as well that is so important that we lost.
This art.
Great capitalist world that we lost the connection to creativity and art and music and all that, which is so inspiring. This festival is the celebration that also brings back that play, the fun, and the connection that comes with it.
Exactly, which is like within this festival zone, all of a sudden, I don't lock my tent.
Yeah.
Which is really fascinating.
Because we're all having fun.
It's all okay. We all trust each other for no reason.
Yeah.
There's like no, it's yeah. not like, okay, we've interviewed and done background checks on the 1,000 people here, and everyone is trustworthy.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. All of a sudden, you get into a festival space, and everyone just has their tents.
And everyone shares. It's so beautiful. It's like, if you have something, you have a fries. You share those fries, you know? It's
artists are sharing their music.
Yeah, sharing music, exactly.
Sharing space, sharing time.
Yeah, and we see that here in X-Back as well. Like, who locks their stuff? No one. We just trust each other. Why? I don't know you, but I trust you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but it's crazy because if...
Because we have a shared vision, that's why.
Yeah.
And then we go back into why community is so beautiful. Because we have the shared vision, the trust is immediately there because I know that you and I want the same.
Because right now, you and I just got into a really beautiful conversation and now we're here. Yeah. But if I... Maybe this wouldn't have happened at the supermarket, even if it was you and me still.
Yeah.
I would see you shopping next to me and I wouldn't be like, oh, hey, you seem like an interesting person.
Yeah, definitely not. Also because I would be in my own thing and just like doing it quickly and going back to my apartment to lock myself up and, you know.
It's almost like even the value of changing the context.
Yeah.
Like in some ways, and I think this is cool, this is what workshops do. Like when I go to a workshop, it's a new context, it's a new environment. It's like there's new rules in this place. So you walk into a room for a yoga class, and at the beginning of the yoga class, the teacher's like, here's what's allowed here, here's what's not allowed here. And you can make, like the yoga teacher's like, all right, like, we can make sounds for the next hour. That's a weird thing to do anywhere else, but here you can. And I feel like even the context somehow shifts our relating to each other.
Absolutely.
At the supermarket, if there were like, I'm imagining how cool it would be. This is what Burning Man's like. Yeah. So, okay, all right, I want to talk about Burning Man too for a second too. So in like the festival world, there's also Burning Man, which is like a village of villages. And we talked about this earlier of like, right now we're in a model that's like dependent on one resource.
Yeah.
And that, I love, the words you use are so good. It was like, it's like a house of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the government or the people in that building stop working and we're all screwed.
Yeah.
That is not sustainable.
No.
That's not a system that is like, what's the word I'm looking
resilient.
For? Resilient.
There's no resilience. The only way in which we will survive is through resilience.
And okay, so, all right, so then like, so Burning Man is like one model of resilience, which is like, oh, there's like multiple nucleuses that are all interrelating.
Yeah.
And if one goes down, then the other one support it.
Yes. This is how the global society will work, ideally.
Which is funny, because I'm like, where can we get, like, an image of that? And it's like, nature.
Yes. Exactly. It's a bunch of different ecosystems. And they all have their own synergy, and they all work together. And they do that within, in the microcosm of the specific ecosystem. And then they also are related to all the other ecosystems.
So, I mean, this is so beautiful.
And this is the idea of the pluriverse. That's the idea of the pluriverse. It's like a bunch of villages. So the world would be a village of villages.
Little hubs.
Yeah, little hubs. And they have the freedom to do with however they want to, as long as they don't affect negatively each other. But then there wouldn't need ideally a police. We wouldn't need a police to like, okay, you're doing something that's a... No, actually everyone kind of has some sort of same vision. It doesn't need to be the same. We don't want to be like completely similar to each other, but some vision that is like has a north, like a North Star of love, for example,
Complimentary.
complementary, and there's love in it. We experiment ways of existing. They are different, but they all have like a foundation of love somehow, or of care, or solidarity, or you know, all of these justice, you know, and then that's how we thrive through our difference as well.
Yeah, it's almost like it brings variety and diversity.
Yes, that's a pluriverse. Exactly. Like an ecosystem of just one tree is not resilient, but an ecosystem of different types of trees and animals and moss and mushrooms, that's super resilient. And this thrives and survives.
Which is interesting because I'm thinking about like all the global religions, which pretty much all have the same foundation anyway, which is like, I mean, one of it is like you're flawed,
Yeah.
but it's like I don't think I've seen any religion that's like be mean to other people,
No.
like take that's not yours,
No, it's the
like
contrary.
yeah, like I mean, they're pretty much the same,
Yeah.
but they're all trying to get everyone on their own team.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, that's the flaw of it. Yeah.
Instead of like, no. This is great. Believe in the one that you believe in because that will give us more diversity and
Yeah.
therefore more resilience as a people.
Yeah. The problem is in othering. Because of the separation paradigm, we are always othering, so we need to. Okay, this is me and my people because I identify. So I'm a Brazilian. I happen to be Brazilian, so I will identify with this, all of these people who are also Brazilian, and then I'm gonna see what is our identity. I'm gonna identify with that, and then I'm gonna see the difference between Brazilians and people from Israel, and then you know, and then I'm gonna okay, we do it better, we are better in that way, and then we should thrive more than you.
Because we're still
Because
competing
yeah, because we're competing.
in a larger scale,
In
even.
a larger scale, yeah, I mean that's how the international system works. So it's an anarchy. So international system is it is anarchical. So it's a bunch of nations. They are all sovereign, and yeah, they are all sovereign in a
Because it
way. They can
totally
do
is
whatever they
anarchy.
want. Yeah, it's anarchy. It's international system is anarchical. But the thing is that because of these power relations, some nations they have more power than others. So that's why we have the global north, what we call the global north, and then the global south, and how the global north actually dominates the global south and continues with this reproduction of coloniality through development nowadays and through the economic system. This is why there's still a bunch of people who are enslaved in poverty and some are not, but you know. So it's anarchical in essence. Every country is sovereign, but because
It's
of
like a
the
flawed system.
yeah, because of the power relations, the power in the hierarchy and the othering, because I'm global north, I have more power, and then I'm able to actually instigate suffering in people who have no means.
I mean, it's the same in the United States where people, you have like other white people that are like, everyone has equal opportunity here.
Absolutely not.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's the same.
Like, were you born addicted to cocaine? And all of your friends died when you were really young? Okay, probably not equal
Are
opportunities.
you black?
Yeah.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Do you have Afro descent? Like, are you an African American?
It's not equal.
Yeah, not equal. Yeah, but yeah. So this is what we're shifting. So these are all sets of beliefs. This is why the beliefs word is important. These are all sets of beliefs. Othering, separation. This is a belief. So the way in which we bring upon the shift is bringing upon the paradigm shift. This is changing the set of beliefs.
Which I think in some ways is probably uncovering the beliefs that exist. Like,
Yeah,
which
which
has
we don't,
been,
yeah, we're not aware of them.
yeah, like you and I, even in this experience, are like trying to uncover some of them.
Absolutely.
And we are even, like, I realized that we are even having, I had epiphanies during this where it's like, oh my God, this is one of the beliefs.
Yeah.
That it's like, I have been a belief hunting the last 10 years, and some of them I'm still finding out.
And there will our whole lives, I think, we will. Because I mean, the way in which we experience reality also is about, it's by creating beliefs. Like, you know, to be able to live in the illusion, we have to have different beliefs. It's just part of it. So it's like about choosing which beliefs we want.
Yeah.
That's just it. It's, you know, beliefs will always exist. Okay, how can we actually choose then? which belief do we want, so that we all thrive.
I'm operating consciously.
Yeah, consciously choosing beliefs. That's it. What works for us now?
And I think part of that is like, yeah, needing to be transparent, or like, yeah, I'm like going back to Burning Man and thinking how dope it is that like these, like there were two things that happened there that, I mean, there's like a million, but like two of the things that happened there that were really amazing was, one, I realized like, okay, what would a city, it's built up, it's like built like a city, what would a city look like if not everyone was trying to make money off of each other? Because there's like a gift economy there.
Yeah.
So everyone's just like bringing cool stuff. And they're like, I want to share this. This would be so cool. Yeah. And you walk through the city streets, and every, let's say like every company, which is like a little village, has a living room that's like, hey, come into the living room. And they're all kind of in service. And you can come hang out in the living room anytime. And if you want to take any of our workshops, we do this. Or, and if you want to get your fingernails painted, we offer this.
Yeah.
And it makes it so that everyone's kind of walking around and hanging out in each other's little villages.
Yeah.
And there's like a part of the village that is hosting. It's always hosting.
Mm-hmm.
Or having a DJ party, or having a this event or that event.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this is kind of how we would spend our days.
Yeah.
Like, I'm imagining walking through New York City and like all the storefronts, what if like each clothing store had a little living room that, yeah, offered drinks?
Yeah.
And I could just go relax in places as I'm walking through the city.
Yeah.
That is not happening.
And how fun would it be to actually be in service?
Yeah, man. Like, hey, yeah, come on. Like, yeah. And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun having a bar shift making banana cocktails, because our camp was like orange and glad we didn't say banana. And we're just having a banana party.
Yeah.
And frozen chocolate covered bananas. And people are coming by being like, oh my God, I love this. I used to have it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And you're just having fun together.
Yeah.
And in that, you're having really cool, inspiring conversations. And they're like, oh, yo, we have like a snow cone camp. We should do a collaboration.
Yeah.
Like snow cones going bananas. We'll call, yeah, it that. And that naturally happened. What naturally was happening is I just came with my cool idea, and then other people had really amazing ideas that I'm like, oh my God. Like, there was a dude who drove by that had a banana car.
Yeah. And it's amazing. And this is how, and the only thing I see with that, and then coming from, yeah, the background that I come from, is that how can we actually change the system? So this, because this is already happening. Burning Man exists, and this is happening. And we also see that happening in different communities also. The only thing that I always come back to is, yeah, how can we provide equal opportunity for everyone to be able to do that? Because someone is producing that chocolate. Someone is extracting cacao in the global south for those people to be able to have that fun.
Well, and to get the ticket to Burning Man to this,
exactly,
new society, it's $400.
Exactly.
So it's like, if you have the money to get into the gate, then,
yeah,
you can.
And who's like extracting minerals for that plane to be able to fly? So this is, you know, how can we get everyone there? This is the challenge.
Yeah.
So we don't go again into a society where the privilege now is to thrive into this beauty of like being in abundance and service and on this beauty, but then there's, because you're using what other people labor.
Yeah, because it's still it's like a non-linear model,
yeah,
that is growing out of the linear,
yeah,
model. So it's like
I
a
see.
Tiny bubble of privilege.
Yeah.
That is still...
Burning Man is still into that. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it should happen, because it's showing people how a beautiful system can work. But like, it's still happening because there's people who have no opportunity and they're still being exploited.
Yeah.
So that's our challenge. How can we bring everyone there?
Yeah. That it feels like big work.
Yeah, it is.
And there's many things, like I see like the power of organizing or the power of groups. And we talked earlier about community, but even just like, it, maybe even a simpler term is just like an organized group. Like an organized group of people, when I was in Berlin, was like created, and we have it here too, but like created a food saving project where a group of 20 people went to 5 different grocery stores and said, hey, we'll pick up the food you're about to throw away. And that saved our waste.
Yeah.
And like this, I couldn't do alone.
No.
A supermarket wouldn't be like, I don't have enough resources to be able to do that. It would take so much energy.
Yeah.
But a group of people can do that.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's like group organizing can start.
That's community.
Yeah.
It's a group of individuals with a vision. You don't need to live together, but that's community. That group of the food saving thing is a community.
Which, and the vision for them was like, hey, let's reduce waste.
Yeah.
And not spend money in the same grocery stores.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's localization. That's like, and these are like the more concrete ways in which we're changing that economic system bit by bit with localization. Instead of giving money to Walmart, you're gonna give it to your neighbor.
Clothing swaps.
Clothing swaps and all of that. Yeah, exactly.
Instead of buying more clothes, let's actually use the
Yeah.
materials that we already have.
Circular economy. Instead of like when a product is broken, instead of throwing it away, you're either gonna pay someone in your community to fix it, or you're gonna fix it yourself, or you're gonna do something with it that's gonna become something else, but those materials are not going to waste. So, and then that's where all of these different things come in: the gift economy, circular economy, donut economy, well-being economy. there's a lot of things popping up.
And these are focus, like, what are the principles that these are focused on?
Well, I think all of them, they go further from this. They try to like get away from the growth-oriented paradigm where we need to grow, 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 and accumulate and accumulate and save and save. This is one thing, the guiding principle. The other thing is circularity, so no longer in like that linear model that I talked about earlier. And this principle of thriving together instead of separately.
I was thinking earlier
And
when
sharing.
sharing
Sharing
resources.
resources.
I was thinking earlier about it's like this, the global south dominating the, or sorry, the global north dominating the global south, and also the almost like the hidden trap in there that's just like, oh, instead of dominating them, we need to help them.
That's exactly, and that's the development paradigm I was talking about. That's why I hate that word development and sustainable development,
Yeah.
developmental aid. This is the trap. This is what's trapping the global south in within the system. This is neocolonialism. Because what was the justification for colonialism? Civilization. We're bringing rationality.
We're
We're
helping them get to where we
helping
are.
them. Yeah, and that's still happening through development now.
Yeah, it's such
It's
a
the
shadow.
same paradigm. Instead of bringing civilization to the indigenous tribes who are not thinking rationally, we're bringing development.
It's almost like we need to go learn.
Yeah, we're bringing our way of exchanging economically. So we're going to this like remote community in Namibia, and we're bringing this guy,
Highways.
exactly, highways
5G.
and supermarket. That's the trap. That's why I don't like at all the sustainable development world. I mean, it comes, everyone thinks that sustainable development is what's going to save us. Absolutely not. It's what's trapping us even further.
Man, it's crazy. There's like
It's
the dominant emotions that I've experienced in the last 45 minutes out here. It's like a mix between disgust, hopelessness, cringing, hope, joy, curiosity. It's this like it's like these waves. It's like all of it's happening.
And a thing about the pluriverse also is like a guiding principle of it is our ability to hold contrast. It's not this or that. Everything's happening at the same time.
It's like we're both fucked and we're gonna be fine.
Exactly. How can we actually work with that reality? We are fucked, and we can be fine as well. Because I think one another like guiding principle of the paradigm that we have nowadays is this black and white binary system. Whether either it's good or it's bad, either it's evil or not. Either it's true or it's not. And the pluriverse sees things with another perspective that's a lot more, plural.
Many truths.
We can hold contrast, but how can we hold contrast in a way that is harmonious
Yeah.
and works for everyone? That's our challenge.
Yeah, it's like I'm literally thinking it.
There's no need for domination of one belief system. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
We can hold contrast, but it can be harmonious.
'Cause that's it. It's like in some ways there's like a simplicity of like the only issue is being like you're wrong. Instead of like, oh, I believe in this and that can work. You believe in that and that can work.
Exactly.
You know? And it's like, cool, I want to learn more about that without having a fear of losing my identity.
So I don't need to convince you of my truth because they can work together.
And they can they'll pro all probably thrive more if you think differently.
Exactly, the plural. We need them. We need each other differently. If we all thought the same, I mean, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
There's this centralization is trying to make us all think the same, and believe in these principles. This is what's fucking us.
I mean, that's so beautiful and such an. I mean, like, I'm feeling it in my own body. This like edgy. It's like you being different is beneficial to my survival.
Absolutely. We
So I
need
want to support
diversity.
that.
Yes, we need diversity. Otherwise, we are not resilient. Cool.
All right. So like, okay, so maybe to like we'll phase out, and I would love to hear like in this last piece, maybe like
Yeah.
what is like earlier you were saying that you wanted to study regenerative economics.
Yeah.
This is something that's curious, like exciting for you.
Yeah.
So like what I would love to hear what is your part in this? Like what is your passion and your excitement that will actually also support like this shift of
Interesting. Yeah, cool. This is a challenging question because I'm still discovering it and unraveling it. I think my passion right now is this what I was talking about. Like I see how the system works. I see what got us here, and I want to get out of this collectively. And I'm very interested in this development paradigm, and like and I see all of the sustainable development projects popping up and being financed and actually happening, especially in the global south. And I see the destruction that's causing, and how we're further just going into the same paradigm and not getting out of it. So my passion is to go there somehow, you know, and to bring change to this specific aspect of our structure right now, which is development. So that's why I work with post-development and decoloniality. And the way that I see myself doing it is by further learning different ways of relating economically and implementing that, and then being a bridge between local and global. That's quite abstract. I don't know how that's going to work, but yeah, that's mainly how it's happening. While I also work on myself, so I walk the talk.
But I guess that's what it is. It's like that's also local and global.
Yeah.
It's like local is in my body,
Yeah.
my own little community that lives inside of me, which is a million cells.
Yeah.
Global relating to you.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, how do I relate to myself? What's my inner voice like? Am I judging myself constantly? Will influence how I relate to you, which is the global. But also, us together is the local,
Yeah.
and then there's a bigger global.
Yeah, we have this word that's called gloco. Super cool.
Local.
Gloco. Glocalizing. Let's glocalize together.
I really love this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tamara's got this. It's like every action that you have is a political action because it influences everything.
We're all connected.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bodhi.
I really enjoyed this. This is really, yeah, this has been really wonderful. And yeah, I'm curious, are there any like last words or like a, even like a blessing or like something that you would want to share to, yeah, to wrap this. Wrap this up.
Well, I just feel a lot of gratitude right now, and a lot of admiration for you too, Bodhi. I'm really grateful for the work that you do and that I recognize, and for your sharing these podcasts with the world, and also for doing your own work and being this little point of light. So yeah, that's my last words. I'm really grateful, and also I recognize you, and I recognize your service.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I feel the same.
Yeah.
Like, I really appreciate how much time and energy that you've devoted. Like, I feel you have devoted time to really deeply looking into life and yourself. And I feel like that is like absolutely the fundamental part of all of this. So like, thank you for the work that you do for the world and your impact of the work that you're doing in the world. Like, I really appreciate
Same. We're cool mirrors.
it. That's good stuff. To a beautiful new system
Yes,
that
to be.
incorporates everybody and includes everybody. Uh-oh. Thank you everybody for listening. I hope that you are as, I mean, I cannot imagine not being as inspired as we are because we were, I can really feel the aliveness.
And I'm hoping that that you felt that as well, and this inspires you in whatever. Man, Bohr, we were talking to Bohr about this. He's like, well, where do I invest my energy then? And it's just like, maybe this is not the truth, but maybe the answer is just like, follow your deepest heart's passion, and that will bring you to your part in this.
Authenticity. That's the key.
So please, like, whatever this inspired in you, it doesn't mean that, like, you need to go to these communities, or you need to do a food saving project, or you need to do a clothing swap. Those are just examples. Mm-hmm. But, like, find the authenticity within yourself, and that will just naturally lead you here.
Naturally. And it doesn't matter in what area of life. Everything is important, as long as you're doing it from your own heart's desire. It's like a mycelium. Every little mushroom is important.
Thank you, mushrooms. This is for you, mushrooms.
This is basically just an ode to mushrooms.
I want that to be like the title. An ode to mushrooms.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time on the show. Have a beautiful rest of your day, rest of your evening.
See you next time.